Okay, so we mentioned yesterday about the connection between the Taharas Haguf and the Taharas HaNefesh. We mentioned that the Rambam writes both in the Pirush HaMishnayis and Maseches Para, as well as in Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam says that B'makom Shebali Tshuva Omdim Ein Tzadikim Gemurim Micholam Lamod Ban. Similarly, says the Rambam in Maseches Para in the fifth parak, that somebody who goes through a Tahara process, somebody who goes through the process of having a Para Aduma sprinkled on them, they are considered more Tahar than somebody who is careful never to become Tami in their life. So that was a very striking comment to the Rambam, but it puts a little bit into perspective what exactly it means that B'makom Shebali Tshuva Omdim Ein Tzadikim Gemurim Micholam Lamod Ba. There is a very interesting connection as well between the Taharas HaGuf and the Taharas HaNefesh, and that is as follows. We assume that the Taharas HaGuf, when a person becomes Tamei Meis and they have to go through a process of Tahara, so it's really a two-step process. Number one, you have to go to the mikveh. You have to go into the mikveh and that will be Metahar you, but that's only step one. After that, you have to go through phase two, which is the Hazah Shlishi Yushvi. That's you have to be sprinkled with the waters of the Parah Aduma. These are both equal components to the Tahara process. However, there's one marked distinction, there's one marked difference between each of those parts. The difference is that in order to go into the mikveh, one goes on their own. I go into the mikveh, I don't need anyone to do it for me, I don't need anyone to help me out, I can go into the mikveh on my own, and that will be sufficient to become tahar for that part of the process. The hazas mechatas has to be done by somebody else. You need somebody else to come and sprinkle the mechatas on you. You cannot do it alone. And similarly, the same would apply when we talk about taharas hanefesh. When we talk about a person being shav b'tshuva, we also assume that there's a two-step process. There's a certain amount that we have to do on our own. There's a certain amount that we have to come to on our own, a recognition of the chet that we've done, a recognition of the mistakes that we've made, and an interest in going further and becoming closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, we also need the second step of the process, which is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself should accept us. We need that he should be the one to bring us closer. Hashiveinu avinu l'sarasecha. It's not only in our hands. It's not something like we only go to the mikveh and that's good enough. We also need the hazas mechatas, which is done ayidei acher, that has to be done by somebody else. That's the only way that we can have a successful adventure of tshuva. David HaMelech writes in Tehillim, Techateini be'ezo ve'etaher, if you will sprinkle me, so to speak, he's speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you will sprinkle me with the hyssop, which is a allusion to the Parah Aduma water, to the Hazas Mechatas, if you will sprinkle me with that pure water of the Mechatas, Techabseni, I will become, Ve'etaher, I will become Tahar, Techabseni, if you will cleanse me, Umisheleg albin, I will become whiter than snow. So the question is, what do you mean, whiter than snow? There's no such thing as being whiter than snow. There's no different shade of white than the white of snow. That's what it is. So how can David HaMelech say, if you will cleanse me, I will become whiter than snow? So Rav Asher Weiss once told me perhaps the pshat is like this. Yes, you're right on this earth, as far as we understand it, there's no such thing as being whiter than snow. But over here, David HaMelech is asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do his part. He's not talking about, David HaMelech is not describing his own search for tshuva. He's describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's input in his tshuva process. So he says to Chabseinu Mishel Galbin, when God gets involved, he can do something that's even out of this world. When he asks that God should get involved, he says, make me whiter than snow, because that's something that only God can understand and only God can actually accomplish, only he can do. This is what Rabbi Kiva means when he says, not only are we the ones who have to go through the Tahara process on our own, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who has to do it, and the Gemara brings a pasuk, v'zarakti alecha mayim tahorim. Why does the Gemara bring that pasuk specifically, v'zarakti alecha mayim tahorim, that I will sprinkle on you mayim tahorim? Because that's coming to point out, to highlight the second aspect of tshuva. Not only do we have to do our best to try and come closer, but also we need HaKadosh Baruch Hu's input to make it v'zarakti alecha mayim tahorim. He has to sprinkle on us the same way by the mei parah aduma. You need somebody else, you need an acher, you need an outside individual to sprinkle the parah aduma waters on you. There is a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadi Zayin, where we have a machlokas between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua. So the Gemara there describes a very strange machlokas. What would seem, Rabbi Lezer is of the opinion that if Yisrael is osim tshuva, if the Jewish people do tshuva, oz negalim, then we're going to have a geula. If not, imlav, he says, if we don't do tshuva, we're not going to have a geula. And the Gemara then goes on to describe the shita of Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Yeshua says, no, whether they do tshuva or not, even if we don't end up doing tshuva properly, we still will merit a geula even without doing tshuva at all, because God promised one day there's going to be a geula, and therefore it cannot be that it's contingent on our tshuva, because what if we don't do tshuva, then there's not going to be a geula. How does the Rambam paskin? The Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva, like Rabbi Lezer, which is surprising. What does that mean? Rabbi Lezer is the one who says, If we do tshuva, then we will merit a geula. If we don't do tshuva, then we will not have a geula. What does it mean? It means if we don't do tshuva, we'll never be redeemed. How can it be? Don't we know that Rambam writes in the Yud Gimel Ikari Amuna, in the end of Maseches Sanhedrin, the Rambam writes very clearly, everybody has to believe on imamim b'amuna shlema b'viyas ha-mashiach. What do you mean? You believe in Mashiach? It might not ever happen. Might not ever happen. If the Rambam himself paskins like Rav Elazar, that the only way a geula is going to come is if we actually do tshuva, what if we don't do tshuva? Then there's no geula. So how can you say, ani mamim b'amuna shlema b'viyas ha-mashiach, it might not ever happen. So what does this mean? So the Rambam actually addresses this question. The Rambam writes differently in Hilchos Tshuva, u'kvar hevticha ha-Torah. You're going to ask the question, how can you say, ani mamim b'amuna shlema b'viyas ha-mashiach? Didn't I already tell you that the only way Mashiach is going to come is if Klal Yisrael does tshuva? Says the Rambam, no. Kvar hivticha haTorah, God has already assured us, shesof Yisrael lasos tshuva besof galusam, that in the end of times, we will end up doing tshuva. It's going to happen. There will not be a situation where you'll be stuck in galus because people haven't done tshuva. Besof hayomim, in the end of times, God promises us that the Jewish people will come back, they will want to do tshuva, umiyad heim negal. And then, they will have their redemption. So Rav Soloveitchik points out in the Sefer Ala Tshuva, my father has it in Nefesh HaRav, also from Rav Soloveitchik. How can you say such a thing? Don't we believe in the concept of Bechira Chafshis? Don't we believe that we all have free will? Don't we believe that we can all choose to do what we want? So what does this mean? How can the Rambam say, Hevticha Torah, the Torah promises us that Lebasof, in the end of times, the Jewish people will certainly do a tshuva process. What do you mean? How can you say such a thing? If we have a Bechira to yes or not do a tshuva properly, so what exactly does this Rambam mean? So Rav Soloveitchik goes on to explain very beautifully that what it means is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hitviya b'tava ha'adam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into the nature of a human being that he should always want to become closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He should always want to be close, he should always want to do tshuva. And therefore he says, Rav Soloveitchik gives a mashal, he says, for example, let's say you have a person, the teva of a person is to stand on your 2 feet. So let's say you have a person who does a trick, he does a handstand, right? He stands on his head. So how long can he last like that? You can last like that for a few seconds. If you're a real magician, you can last for a minute, 2 minutes, whatever. But we know at a certain point, you're going to have to turn back around. Why? Because the teva is, the nature is, the only way that you can live on this earth is if you stand the other way, if you stand on your 2 feet. So too says of Soloveitchik, this is not a miracle that God is going to create, that, oh, in the end of times, everyone's going to do tshuva. It's like the person who's standing on his head. You cannot last that long. You can't be that way. Why? Because the nature of a person is, the blood has to flow a certain way, the body has to be standing in a certain way, that's our natural predisposition, and if you want to turn yourself upside down, there's only a certain amount of time that you can exist like that. So too over here, he says, if we have gone away from the derech, from the way that we're supposed to be living life, that's not the natural way to live, and there's only a certain amount of time that we can exist like that. Therefore, he explains, that's what the Rama means, Sof hayamim, that in the end of times, Klal Yisrael will be chozer b'tshuva, because there's only a limited amount of time that we can live in the way that we live. There's only a limited amount of time that we can stand on our heads. It will come to a point where it will be impossible to stay that way any longer, and then we will have to be shav b'tshuva, and then says the Rama Miyad, Heim Nigalim. Rav Soloveitchik writes as well in the Ala Tshuva, that this is the idea when it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Klal Yisrael yesh lahem chelek la'olam haba. Every Jewish person has a chelek in olam haba. What does it mean? So I think what Rav Soloveitchik was trying to explain here was that each person has a chelek l'olam haba deep inside of themselves. We have something like the Rambam says, the avaha mesuteres. We have a hidden love inside of us that really pushes us, like gravity pulls us to a certain extreme. So too, we have this avaha mesuteres. We have sometimes a love which is covered over by so many other things, but it's really deep inside of us. We have a love to be yearning toward HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be going in that direction. And that's what it means, Klal Yisrael, yesh lahem chelek l'olam haba. God created all of us with having that desire to go toward olam haba, to move in that direction, to go in the path that he set forth for us. This is what it means. As we said the other day, tshuva, like the Shalah writes, is milashon hashava, that beheshev asagzeli, you have to bring something back. What it means is that our natural predisposition is really supposed to be yearning toward HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to have that relationship. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please do your part. Bring us back. What do you mean bring us back? It's our bechira, whether we want to come back or not. The answer is no. We need the two-step process. God put it inside of us to want to go in that direction. To want Hashivenu Avinu L'Sar Asecha. He put it inside of us that naturally we should always be pushed and pulled toward his direction. Sometimes we make mistakes. Sometimes that ahava is musuteres. Sometimes our love for him is a little bit covered over. It's a little bit clouded up by certain things that get in our way. But still, our natural predisposition is supposed to be going in that direction. And this is something that we need when we go through this process of tshuva. On the one hand, we need to do the mikvah part. We need to do our part of going ahead and accomplishing what we can do as far as tshuva goes, but we also need the siyata d'shmai, we also need the hand of God to do the second part, like the para aduma, that you need somebody else to intervene, to get involved, and to sprinkle you with the mayim of the para aduma and make you tahar. So one of the important and serious steps of tshuva is the highlighting of learning musar, is to remind ourselves that we have to set aside time to put serious thought into our musar. What exactly does that mean? So it is told about one of the Bali Musar, that one of the that there was a Talmud who once came to a Bali Musar, and he said, you know, I used to be in the yeshiva, I used to learn all day. Now I'm working, I don't have time to learn all the time. I only have 10 minutes when I come home from shul, when I come home from work. I only have 10 minutes in between Mincha Ma'ariv. That's all I have every day to learn. And he said, what would you suggest I learn in those 10 minutes? By the time I get home, I'm helping my kids with homework and whatever it is, I'm putting them to bed, and then I fall asleep. I'm waking up 5 o'clock in the morning. So what should I learn in those 10 minutes? So the Bali Musar said, what you should learn is, you should learn Musar. Why should you learn Musar? Because after learning Musar, you'll realize how much more time you waste during the day, and then you realize you have more time during the day to do other things. So what the Gadol was saying, what the Bali Musar was teaching us is, that Musar is an important thing, not just because we get so many important lessons out of Musar, but Musar is also important because we realize it puts our whole day in a context, it puts our whole life in a context. How are we supposed to be spending our time? What are we supposed to be doing? Is every moment really meaningful? Is it something that we're really spending as wisely as we can? So this is why Musar is very important. In fact, the Mishneh Berurah writes in the very first Siman in Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Aleph, Mishneh Berurah points out, Sarach ha'adam likvar lo eis lilmod sifrei Musar b'chol yom v'yom. A person has an obligation to set aside time, says the Mishneh Berurah, to learn Musar each and every day, and to set aside time to do it seriously. Imma'at v'imarbe. It doesn't mean you have to have a lot of time. It just means you have to put some sort of effort into trying to perfect our ways. Ki gadol mechaveru yitzur gadol heimenu. And even if you're a great Talmud Chacham, you're a great Tzaddik. Note, the Gemara says in Sukkah, kala gadol mechaveru yitzur gadol heimenu. Anyone who's greater than his friend also has a great taiva, a great yitzahar to do things wrong. V'tavlin ha-yitzahar, the way to get around the yitzahara is tochachas ma'amari chazal, to learn through the Gemaras, the Agadatas, the ma'amari chazal, which teach us about how to act, how we're supposed to lead our own lives. And in fact, the Shaar HaTzion there quotes from the Chayei Adam that this is more of a chiyuv of learning Musar is more important than learning Mishnayos. You would say, what do you mean? Mishnayos is Talmud Torah, Musar is just nice Musar. No, says the Chayei Adam, as quoted on the page in Shulchan Aruch, in the Shaar HaTzion, he writes, no, learning Mishnayos is not as important as learning Musar. Why? Because Musar is going to give us a perspective on what our lives are supposed to be and where our days are really supposed to be going. There's a story that's told, that's written in one of the biographies of the stipler, that when the stipler, every day used to learn Musar, like the Mishneh Berurah says, he should learn a short seder of Musar. So when he was sitting Shiva on his mother, we know that an Avil is Asar B'Talmud Torah. So he went and he asked the Chazon Ish, am I allowed to learn Musar? What should I do? The Chazon Ish said, absolutely, you're allowed to learn Musar even during your days of Avelis, even during Shiva. Why? The answer has to be, because without Musar, you don't have a day. Without Musar, what kind of day is that? Without Liman HaTorah, okay, I'm busy doing other things. Now the Torah mandates that today, I have to be sitting Shiva, unfortunately. Today I have to be Misabel on the mother. However, to tell me, let's say, would you ever tell an Avel that he shouldn't daven? Of course not. The Avel has to daven. So too over here, the Chazon Ish held that the stipler was allowed to learn Musar because that's part of his Seder Ayom. That's what makes it into a complete day. That's what makes his day have some sort of meaning. Let's just close with the beautiful words of the Chidah. Chidah writes both in the Birkei Yosef, the Shari Tshuva quotes it, but it's at length in one of his other svarim. He writes, Amru Kadmonenu, Sheha'ikar alimud letzarif lelimud shalomei. The most important part of Limud HaTorah is not only to learn the Torah itself, but also is to intertwine with that, Musar Habanei Alpi HaTorah, is to put together with the Limud HaTorah that we do, with the actual Gemara, with the Halacha that we learn, also to put together a Musar. V'ayidei zeh lomed HaTorah behiru tshuva v'nichna. This is the way that we can have a humble spirit. This is the way that we can always think about tshuva, and we can always keep our eye on our goal. Ki ha'achnoa mevatali yetzahara. Ha'magid hizu the maran. He says that the magid, the malach that used to meet with the Beis Yosef, with the Shulchan Aruch, told him that he has to learn Musar. Va'amr ba'avis d'Rabbeinu Nassan. Kal mishi yesh biyado halachas ve'yem biyado medrash. Somebody who sits and he learns Torah, and he's learning Gemara, and he's learning halacha. However, ein biyado medrash, but he doesn't learn midrashe chazal, he doesn't learn the Musar of chazal. Lo tam tam shal yirashe. You have not even began to taste, to touch what Yiras Hashemayim is all about, what Yiras Hashem is all about. Ibn Medrash, he explains, Yesh tochechas musar ubal yirashe. Because by learning the Agadas of Chazal, by understanding the musar that they give forth to us, it brings us to have a Yiras Hashemayim. Va'yidei lima tochechas musar, yiskelios anav she'em yidatova heimenu. Then he goes on and he says that even though Talmud Bavli is a very important thing to learn, because we know Rabbeinu Tam writes that Talmud Bavli is balol bakol, it has Mishnayis, it has Gemara, it has Psukim, it has Navi, It has everything in it. However, he says it's not as important as it is to go on ahead and learn Musar. Aval b'dar yasam ze ki gavra hasitra acha ruhu beikvus de mashicha yitzahara rodef le talmud chacham biyoser. And he says, therefore, even though we learn Talmud Bavli, and Talmud Bavli is wonderful and it's really important, but we have to set aside time as well, says the Chidah, that we need to learn Musar while we do all the learning that we do. So this is something, just one step to think about, that even though we know that Tshuva process is obviously something that we cannot only accomplish on our own, the Tshuva process is something that we need help. We need the Siyata Deshmaya. We need, number one, our part, which is going to the mikvah, but we also need HaKadosh Baruch Hu's part, for Him to interject, for Him to intercede, and to give us that want, that desire, to actually want to come back to Him. Tshuva means Milashon Hashava, to bring back to the real natural disposition that we originally were created with, that Ava Mesuteris, like the Tanya talks about, that we have to uncover that clouded up love that we have deep inside of ourselves. But some way to do that is also to think about seriously, this is what the Mishnah Berurah writes, to set aside time in Ma'at Ve'im Harbe, just to set aside a little bit of time to study the study of Musar, to think about our ways, and to do a little bit of Cheshbon HaNefesh, certainly at this point in the year, and think about where we're holding and where we should be going with our tshuva process and with our lives in general. You have a minion for Mincha?